Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today, for the grace you've given us, Lord, to come together in this privilege, Lord, to be able to find ourselves together in this wonderful little room here that you've granted us to have it, and a place to worship, fellowship, and to learn of your word. So we thank you, Father. We ask that you bless the little thoughts today as we continue in the subject of the mystery of your purpose, Lord, to know your will and your purpose in our life. So, Father, we commit all things to you now. Open up our heart to the understanding of your word. For this, I ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, on the thumb drive, there are two PDF files, but do not open it now, but we'll just look at it later. All right, now, from where I left off last week, I just want again to tell you that the mystery of God's purpose in us is to bring us to the place where He would fulfill what He had already foreordained before the foundation of the world, when He predestined you as a people to be a part of His family. So now when we look at the Bible and we understand the founding father of our faith, not the founding father of Singapore, but the founding father of our faith, the one whom God called to be the one to start off, to build, as God will through him build a nation of people. Do you know that we are also a nation of people as a church? And the Bible calls we are a peculiar nation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, and even a priesthood. You see. So when God called Abraham, now when God called someone, remember that God has to endue him with power, with the gift, with the capability to do what God intended. And so what we call that the anointing. And God does not call a person to do a work without giving him the power. That's the reason why Jesus told the disciple, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So, when God called Abraham, and he told Abraham that I will give you a son, I will make you a father of many nations. Now, for God to achieve that, he did not ask Abraham to do this or that or something. Oh, it was all God's work. Remember? God is working a work in his life. We are all God's workmanship. All Abraham have to do is believe. That's why the disciples, when they asked you, what must we do to do the work of God? Jesus did not tell them, you do this, I want you to do that, this is what you must do. No. All that Jesus said to them is, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God sent. All you have to do is believe. All I have to do is to believe. All that Abraham had to do is to believe. And that's what the Bible said, God imputed upon him righteousness. Because he believed. Believe what God said. And it takes a revelation in the first place to know who this God is. After all, Abraham was from a family way past the flood, way past the Tower of Babel, and people were scattered throughout the world, and the one revelation of God seemed to be waning. That's why over there in Mesopotamia, you can see the land, people worship all kinds of gods. And people are just losing their faith because they seem that they lost that faith. And then God called Abraham. And you know that I know in the story, you just read the Bible, even his son and grandson, and your wives and the family, and even the servant, They carry with them idols, little idols with them. You see. So when God called Abraham, it was nothing to do with Abraham looking for the God or something. It was God looking upon him and chose him. Man do not seek after God. It is God that seek after man. You may wonder, who is the God that created this universe? Is it the God of the Bible? Or is it the God of Hinduism? Or is it the God of Islam? Or is it the God of this religion or that religion? You can wonder. You can go and do a lot of research to find out. Science have tried. Scientists have tried. A lot of religious men have tried. They sit under a tree and meditate and try to get some inspiration. But if it wasn't for God to call, then you have no revelation. I have nothing to do with God calling me. You understand? It is God calling me. I have nothing to do. No, I wasn't looking for Him. All what my mother did was to tell us about Jesus. She was the one to talk about us, to me, about Jesus and the brothers when we were young. When I have been to Taoism with my father's first wife, because we live together, as I said, festivity comes and all we look for was the chicken that is offered to the idol, the fruits and whatever. But I wasn't taken to it, I just find it curious that, well, it's just an idol on an altar, on a shelf. You know. But when my mom talked to me about Jesus, it somehow strained the name. So God was then tugging in my heart. I wasn't looking for Jesus. Any of you were looking for Jesus? Only the Jews were looking for the Messiah. After all, we weren't promised a Messiah, like the children of Israel were promised a Messiah. And then when they reject the Messiah, God planted them and then he turned to the Gentiles. That's not why, you see, I'm a Hebrew. I'm not a Jew, I'm a Hebrew. I have crossed over like Abraham. He was a Hebrew. God called him out from there. And he crossed over the river Euphrates, Tigris, and came over down to Canaan land. A land God promised him. The promised land. Filled with milk and honey. And Abraham believed. Yes, Lord, you told me, you said that I'm going to be a father. Yes, Almighty, you even told me that I'm going to be a father of many nations. I believe. And he started not at the And, you know, in the faith, even he see his body dying, growing old, draining of energy. When he see his wife, hopefully at that time when God called him, he was 90 years old, and his wife, 75 years old, and his wife was 65, and the wife still have the strength to carry the baby because the egg is still there. She was only half the age, less than half the age that she was supposed to live, 1/3, we'll say. You know. But God had to put this man to a test. And I said, faith is not worth if God doesn't put us to a test. People think that because we believe in God, it has to be a bed of roses. No thorns, nothing. Rose petal. You know, like people go to spa, sometimes you throw out the rose petal, or you get into a 5-star hotel, 6-star, 7-star hotel, whatever they have. Sometimes they welcome you into a pen suite or whatever, and you go into the room and they show you the bed, and the bed was all laid with rose petals. Huh? No. God has to put you to a trial, to test you to see whether you truly have the faith. People think, oh, I'm a Christian, everything's going to be all right. No problem. but one. But the sooner when you become a Christian, the problem starts. The number that kicking. Lastly, once you become a Christian, trials will come. Because God tests. Abraham was put to the test for 24 years. And the body was just dying. His wife's body was dying. And his wife couldn't wait. The wife is not a believer. Because she doesn't know the God of Abraham. But Abraham insisted it was through her that a promise it would come. They already had that child by the born woman, Ishmael. Because you know, it seems that the worst trouble is always caused by woman. What kind of sad to say, but not talking about every woman who are God's crown. Look at what Eve did. And look at what Sarah did. In her impatience, a born child came for. And what the descendant, what happened to Ishmael's descendant? The descendant became one man, right, all the way from the past until now. As the Bible said, they will fight among themselves, brother against brother, and that's what you see. And not only that, the seed is not heir with the shock. And Israel was the seed of God, God's promised seed. Israel, prince of God, through Abraham's son, Isaac, the promised son. The one that was not promised, Ishmael, what happened? They wanted to become the heir. And they have their teaching that it was Ishmael that Abraham was supposed to sacrifice. It wasn't Isaac. But you cannot lie. No matter how you teach your doctrine, truth will bear it up. History had already bear out the truth. From generation to generation, history has bear it out. And we are seeing it even today. So, when the body of Sarah gets old, how can he carry a child? But you see, the problem is, as you always know now, we should know by now, that you see, it was God's business. It isn't our business. All we have to do is believe that God will do a work and He is supposed to do it, and He will do it. You agree with that? So when God promised Abraham, and now Sarah is that old, coming to 90 years old, the body is already dried up, people are laughing, the sober probably be giggling, because not everybody in Abraham's household is a believer. Or what about what Abraham believed? Because Sarah couldn't even believe. Until he heard the voice of God speaking when she laughed. God had to change the body. That's what we call tailor-made. So God had to change the body. Make to order bride. And make to order new body. So that Sarah could conceive and bring forth the promised son. You understand? The other thing is this. I don't believe in positive thinking in the way that some denomination or some churches are trying to propagate. I believe in positive thinking is that you think positively to what you are doing in your daily life. But when it comes to God's work in your life, it is not about positive thinking. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. It doesn't mean that you say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Then you are saved. You get what I'm trying to tell you? You are saved because God has already promised salvation to you and granted you salvation the day that you are born again. The day when He gives you His Holy Spirit of life. You are already saved. You already have salvation. You understand? People say also another the teaching is that positive him. Visualize that. That you have what you ask God. You ask God for the job, this particular job. So just visualize that you have it. Visualize that you're going to get it, and you're going to get it. It's not about visualization. It's not about positive thinking. Abraham did not go out and visualize. Abraham had the revelation. It's all about the revelation. If God don't show it to you, you have nothing. If God called Abraham, then God have to give him the revelation. Are you following what I'm saying? Because it's all about God's work. He is working a work in our life. The mystery of His purpose is that He worked in our life to bring us to the place where we will be. Even though we don't see now, God called those things that were not as though they were. And we will come to that place. To think and think. To trials, tribulation, He will bring us through. That's why the Bible said Abraham was put to a fire. A fiery trial. And when a man is put to the trial for his faith, he comes out as pure gold. And in the eyes of God, it's so much more valuable than fine gold. Because faith is real. I see not with my natural eye. I see with the eyes that God has shown through His Word. The reality of His Word of truth. So it's not about positive thinking. Like Hare Krishna, the kind of a religious group in India, and then they went over to America and England and whatever, you know, and they're all chanting. No, it's not going to work. Huh? Alright, now, the other thing here I want to say is, Adam and Eve, the day that they came into the world, and God put them in the Garden of Eden. Remember, they were naked. They were naked physically, but they were veiled. Their senses about evil is not there. They know that they were looking at each other naked, but there's nothing to be ashamed of because there's nothing. They are just innocent. You can put a bunch of toddlers, you know, to go to a swimming pool and they all strip themselves naked, little toddler girl and boy, you know, playing in the pool. And that's nothing. Because innocent. There were no consciousness, there was no consciousness of evil. Nothing. But the day they eat of that fruit. And we know that it wasn't a fruit tree. Other which Adam or Eve and Adam they took up the fruit and eat it. And they opened their eyes to their nakedness. It is not. No fruit in the world that you eat today will tell you that you are naked. Right? If you see a man or an insane man usually, or an insane woman, I believe they have happened in Singapore before, some cases. And I have seen also when I was in the Philippines, going to church one day in the van, and the brother was driving, and early in the morning we see a woman walking completely naked out in the road. And we are trying to find a cloth or something to cover her, but we don't have anything in the van. And she was just walking around, you know, and we realized that she was, mentally unsound. And there were cars passing by. I don't know where anybody helped. But I want to say this, if somebody is naked, try to give him some or her some fruits and see whether it will cause her to cover herself with clothes. No. But it was something that Adam and Eve had done. They opened their vileness. What they have partaken was perverted knowledge of what is good and evil. I said God had the knowledge of good and evil. Adam had the knowledge of good and evil. But having the knowledge of good and evil does not mean that you have sinned. Adam has the knowledge of good and evil. But the knowledge of good and evil that Eve partook, and then Adam had identified with her, was the knowledge that was a perverted knowledge of good and evil. I hope you understand what I'm saying. We all know that a man and a woman who is not married and they fornicate out of wedlock, outside of wedlock, we know that's wrong. We know that's wrong, isn't it? But when a person partake of that, then their eyes will be opened to what is the knowledge of good and evil that is perverted. Knowledge is not a perversion, but to practice an act which is wrong, then you have a perverted knowledge. It is good for you all to know and go to school and learn whatever you're learning. But when you misapply the principles of what you have learned and bring into a perversion in your life and then by action, then that's perversion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Yes. So that's what opened the eyes of Adam and Eve. As God said, men have become like one of us. God knows what perversion is. But God don't have to do the act. You understand? And God warned that couple, don't ever touch that tree. Don't eat of that perversion. Adam has known, as long as he was innocent, he remained innocent, he knew what is right and what is wrong, obviously. Today you know what is right and what is wrong. But commit a crime, commit a vile act, then your eyes will be open to how vile it could be, especially when it comes to sex. See? Alright, so, Brother Man preached on one sermon called The Thinking Man's Filter. But I'm not mistaken, I believe that he saw a cigarette butt with a filter on it. And in those days, you would think that when you smoke cigarette with filter, you remember in early days when people smoked cigarette, they all used a piece of paper and put tobacco and rolled it, and then factory came along and rolled it nicely for everybody and put them in a package. Right? And by and by, say, oh no, that's a lot of nicotine, there's a lot of dirt that goes through into your lungs, and okay, now we put a filter on it to filter it. All the bad stuff out of the cigarette. There's no filter that can filter any tobacco, all the bad chemical in the tobacco. So we're going to talk about the thinking man's filter. What is the thinking man's filter? A smoker thinks that he buy the brand with a filter on it, he's okay. Cool, cool, cool as the mountain air, fresh, fresh, fresh as a new moon day, come and smoke Marlboro cigarette. I remember that advertisement when I was young. Marlboro. Fresh. Marlboro. Cool. Yeah, when I was young, you know, I give it a try. It was cool, right? Because there's menthol in it. You know, but I never inhale it. It just cool. Now it doesn't look cool for the person to put a little stick in the mouth and think that's cool. You know how the people do the action? And then stand and act like with a secret post. You know, I was a kid and I you know, just mix with some of these young people and, you know, they smoke and they offer me one a truck and, no smoking. I just, some bad stuff. So what is the thinking man's filter? What is your filter? Your thinking. You are thinking. Spiritual thoughts. What is you? What are you thinking? In this world we are living, there are a lot of thinking, a lot of things that pass through our mind. We are living in this world filled with five senses. We are contacting this world through the five senses. Is that right? Yes? Yes. So, how do we filter our thoughts? We filter everything. Natural senses, spiritual senses, discerning right and wrong, through the thinking man's filter. The Word of God, we should use the word to filter, discerning. How important, therefore, is to fill our life with the Word of God. That's why Paul said, study to show yourself proof unto God and both men, and need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. Filter everything this life. Is this right? Is wrong? Whatever it is. Filter it through the word of God. And God has to deal with us through his word. That's how God dealt with Abraham. To speaking to him, put him to a trial, make him able to think. When his wife said, now, I'm getting old, you've been 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 12 years now. Why don't you just get the born woman? Maybe that's the way God intended. That's what God meant. Maybe that you didn't hear it right, woman. God said, yeah, he gave you a son. But maybe you didn't hear it right. Maybe it's true. To the born woman. Take Hagar. See? But Abraham says, no, it's you. Obviously, you don't read in the Bible straight away, just tell that Abraham said to run, no, it's you. But you know, obviously, Abraham's faith never wavered. But he hearkened to his wife, Sarah. Just like Adam hearkened to his wife, Eve. And that's one thing about men. We are weak also in this part. We listen to our wife. We happen to our wife. Please, our wife. That's why Paul is a bit wiser. He says, you know, be like me. Go get married. Less problem. You know? Because you have to try to please your wife too. That's what Paul is saying. Even in the Old Testament, when a man is married, he must spend, I don't know what, how many, how long, 1 year or something like that with the wife. He cannot go to war, you know. God please his wife first. You see. So these are all the things because God gave. Yeah, the Bible says a man find a wife, find a good thing. I hope it's a good thing to many who find a wife. That's another thing that happens, huh? So we are passing through life, all sorts of things that is going through. But God will always bring to past that which he promised in his word for every one of us. So now, if Adam and Eve, when they were naked, then they don't see anything wrong because they were veiled. There was this innocency, this veil of God, this word of God that covers them. But when Eve steps out of the world, being deceived by the serpent, and that's when everything became open up. But today, now that we are all here on this earth, now we are not just a natural person now, or a physical person, but we are also a spiritual being. Now first of all, you must understand that we are a spiritual being. Okay? I have said last week, are we a living soul in a body, or are we a body with a living soul? So you must know what comes first. You understand that? Okay, so now, if we know that we are spiritual beings, when Eve was tempted, she lost to try that knowledge, to taste of that forbidden tree. So her eyes was open. She lost. She was so tempted because that, oh my. You know, the serpent, Satan was behind the serpent, tempting you through all the senses. See, taste is good, touch, you know. And that's brought the fall. But now today, here we are, spiritual people. How do we control those senses? Those five senses are affecting us. Sure. Huh? Eve looked at the tree. Was present to the eyes. Good for food. Satisfy the human senses. Now, you know, now I'm getting a bit old, I hardly see durian. But in our younger day, when I was 20, 30, 40, 50, when the season of the durian comes, man, oh man, I must go out and look and lust for that durian. You know what I mean? When you see my workers, a shop that sells durian, or store that sells durian, and you smell it, first of all, you smell it, it's good. Then you see them suddenly open up, wow, nice fruit inside, fresh, golden, whoosh. You know, you're drawn to the scent, your sight, oh, your eyes see it, you smell it, then you want to taste it, then you want to feel the smoothness going down your throat. Huh? Isn't that so? I mean, that's what the senses are all about. It's just to make the person go into, the heavenly experience. Dude, a lot of people eat durian like they are in heaven. Huh? Oh, you don't know, I really enjoy durian. Sometimes they say that you eat durian, switch off the light. Don't want to see the durian, just experience the texture without the sight. Just the taste and the feel. You know. So, today, spiritually, I know. You know Brother Branham, when he drive a car, you know, he had a crucifix or a cross, you know, in a car in front of him. I think it's where the side mirror is. He said the reason why he have it, I believe, I don't know, if my memory serves me right, was that, you know, he was driving around. He said that when he see woman passing by the roadside, you know, dress not right and all this, he would look away and look at the cross, you know, to fix his eye on the cross, or rather on the woman that passed by. Isn't it? So today, the senses are there. And I said before, there are people, well, it may be humorous, but walking down the road, a man walking down the road with his friend talking, and here, coming from the opposite direction, a nice looking woman, indecently dressed, walking past. The man, when he passed, and the man turned around and looked, and then walked the other way. Just to follow the girl and look at her. The sense plays a part. And that's how the devil would do it on a man, because the woman's body and the man's body are completely different. God make it that way for attraction purposes, but not for the lustful purposes. You see? So today, with the five senses, can we look and not ask? Eve was tempted and he said, oh, the tree was good for food. Was present to the sight. Look, that is good for food. When you look at it, don't ask on it. Is it possible? You know? There have to be something stand before you and their lust. The future. And that's what the word of God is. Turn your eyes. gaze upon Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. We live in this world because of the fall. That's what happened to us. But now that we are a spiritual person, God is able to do it in our life. Because why, you see, many times we struggle. We struggle because of the five senses. But you know what? God promised that He is going to work in us. And how does He do it? He do it through His Word. He does it through His Word. He's going to shape you. He's going to chastise you. Bring you to the place where you should be going. Yeah, it's painful. You will fall time and again. Abraham made a big mistake. He fell, hugging to his wife and had Hagar for one night and bring forth a son called Ishmael. And because of that, he became a thorn in the sight of the children of Israel. Abraham made another mistake earlier than that. He brought along with him his nephew Lot. And throughout the journey, the two, Lot's people and his people, have quarreled. Lot became a thorn in his sight also. As we don't want, how can two walk together unless they agree? I have learned my lesson throughout years when, you know what, I've seen 71 with all that opinions of certain brothers. It's always bound to happen. But there are us learned by mystic. God is able to restore to us the image. That's why Jesus, the Bible said, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of what God is doing. Because although the founding father Abraham set an example, the founding father of our faith, Abraham, set the example, Jesus Christ came next to fulfill the word which God promised Abraham, the promised son, not Isaac, which brought forth Israel, but Jesus Christ, which brought forth Ecclesias, the church. And Christ was set as an example for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He was set an example for us. So God did it first by Jesus Christ. And when He did it by Jesus Christ, He now has a standard. Not just the faith that Abraham had for us to see. He's the father of our faith. But Jesus Christ has set the example for the spiritual side of us. He being the apostle and the high priest of our profession. God brought him to that state, and therefore God had to fulfill what He promised, a people. But today we know we are fasting, quarreling, temper tantrum throwing and all that. There's a lot of mess in the message. A lot of split, a lot of schism. So what's happening? What's happening? Everybody wants to do a work for God. But they forgot that God is doing work in us. So God will change the man to meet the need. God will change your behavior to meet his need, to bring you to the place of perfection. Now, I want to show you here the PDF file. The one that says, pass the gun. Now I want to show you the idea that people have. Why do we have all these opinion, fuzzing ideas that were not God? People are trying to do a work for God. Sarah was doing a work for God. Now, here's what came, a letter from, I removed his names. I got it yesterday, or the day before yesterday, Friday. And I answered him. But yesterday he sent me another email. And he said that he did not mean that. But let me show you what he said here. Pastor God, good afternoon. I would like to share to you some quotes from our dear brother Branham. Consider the following quotes from our prophet. Show us the Father and it suffices us. June 10th, 53. The paragraph. Now look, that's Barabam speaking. When man was making the image of God, he did not fall. When he was making the image of man, he fell. When he was making the image of beast, of out of the dust of the earth, that's why he fell. Question and answer, 15 May, 54. In Genesis 2, there was no man to till the soil. And God made man out of the dust of the earth, not in his image, but in the image of animal life. And he put the spirit of man in this animal man here. And he became a living soul. Now that's the difference between a man and an animal. Question on Genesis 29, July 53. And then he put man in the dust of the earth, which was the first man, Adam, and that man was made after the image. His human man here is made after the image of an animal. These human bodies are made in the image of animal. We got a hand just like a monkey, and we got a foot like a bat. So he concluded, he said, from the above quotes, we can conclude the following. Man was first created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, man cannot fall in this sleep. 2, man was then formed out of the dust of the earth. Genesis 2:7. This is the image of the beast the prophet was referring to. Man fell in this stage. Genesis 1, image of God. Genesis 2, image of beast. But let us remember, Adam still has the image of God in him. He was a God's image inwardly, but in the image of beast outwardly. 3, Genesis 3, man fell. The image of God left him. That made man an image of the beast, both inwardly and outwardly. Note, it is to be understood that God placed us in the image of the beast. And Adam was in this condition even before their fall. It has nothing to do with any hybridization. So I reply, thank you, brother. If you take brother's statements and make them scriptures and interpret them as such, then the scripture, the second scripture, is 40. In saying that, do not take my words around, do not turn my words around, like many Branhamites do, that I spoke against Branham. I am not. I do not see it the way you see it, or the way the Branhamites see it. The sacred scripture is absolute, not Branham's words. If Branham's words are all absolute, or as many Branhamites believe, then they have added to the sacred scripture, which warns them not to do. Now he wrote me an email later on and explained that he believed the Bible was absolute. He did not mean to say what he said. You know, that he just wanted my opinion. But the way he wrote it, I explained to him. I said, my dear brother, if you are asking for my thought, he said he was asking for my thought. I said, if you were asking for my thoughts, then you should not have written what you wrote like this. From the above quote, we can conclude. Remember what he said? Second point, note, it is to be understood that God has placed us in the image of the beast.
And Adam was in this condition even before their fall. It has nothing to do with any hybridization. From your statement, you are stating your thoughts as facts, that they are the truth. See, is that not true? When you say you conclude, we conclude. It is not hybridization. So you conclude already. So you didn't ask me for my thoughts. Brother Branham, he asked me why was Brother talking like this. He said he believed there is a reason. So I reply him. Brother Branham spoke in a manner to try to get his thoughts across to his listener. But he might not have used the right words or expressions. Instead of hearing what the Spirit of God is saying through the prophet, many believers are just taking his words as literally 100% true. I do not have to interpret another preacher's interpretation. That's foolishness. The Branhamites make that mistake. The preacher are interpreting what Brother Branham was interpreting, and another preacher will come along and interpret those preachers' interpretation of Brother Branham's sermon. Such foolishness had led to a whole lot of mess in the end time. Truth. A God-called man is called to speak what God wants him to speak, not what another preacher had spoken, and that is to speak what the preacher had spoken. Peter preached what God gave him. Paul preached what God gave him. John spoke what God gave him. All God-called men will line up with his word, but not all have everything given him. Paul said, we know in parts and preach in parts, until the perfect, that is Christ, comes. Brother Branham said many times, said many things, and caused many believers to wonder. And many had wondered till they came up with some strange revelation to their own damnation. Others wondered till they reject Brother Branham and then call him a false prophet. Yes, Brother Branham spoke those words for a reason. God allowed it to test each and every one of us as to what we believe. His sacred scripture has absolute, or Brother Branham's word as absolute. That's the obvious thing. Even Jesus said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. It throws people away and said, you must be mad. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. You must be some vampire. A cannibalism. A cannibal type of belief, getting people into that state. Sure. So I don't have to interpret Brother Branham. Just because he takes that quote, that's why people do have this mistake. When you take those quotes like that, what do you think is going to happen? Huh? Brother Branham speaks in a very strange way. Just because Brother Branham said that, he thinks that because Adam was put into a dust that was the image of an animal. No. If Adam and Eve continued to live without touching the forbidden tree, the whole earth would be filled with spiritual children of God. Right? We're not created in the image of the animal. We're still in the image of God. But the image is tinted, stained, corrupt, mourned by reason why? Of the serpent blood. Isn't that true? Because if we are in the image of animal, why would God save us in the first place? After all animals are in the image of each other. That's to say, the animal. An image of animal do not have a soul that is able to worship God, or they are created in the image of God as a soul. Created in the spirit of the living God. To be like God. Remember. So that is one of the things, as I said. God called you, me. And I said, every one of us have a place in the body of Christ. We are many members of a one body. Like Friday when we discussed, show you that PDF file. This preacher from America, he said that we are added. We are added. We are the bride of Christ, we are the wife of Christ, and we are actually Christ.
Now, he said that we are added to the Godhead. Now, to say that we are added to the Godhead doesn't make any sense. Christ is added to the Godhead, he said that. How is Christ added to the Godhead? What did the Bible say? What does the Bible say when it comes to Jesus Christ? In the book of Colossians 1:19, in the book of Colossians 2:9, what did he say? If you do not remember those two verses, shame on you, if you have been a Christian for long. For it is pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead dwells in the body. The fullness of God dwells in the body. How can you say that Jesus Christ was added to the Godhead? Huh? What is Godhead? Godhead is Godhood in simplicity. By definition, Godhead always refers to divinity, the one that is divine, the divinity. You understand? You can make a Godhead as a power, a piece of wood. You can make your elephant a Godhead. That's what you worship, divinity. Elephant is divine, you worship. But if God is one, how do you add to God? God is not adding to himself, make them everyone to be a part of him as God. God is always God and he alone is God. The rest of us are sons and daughters of God. And we are not added to the Godhead. We are added to the family of God, not to the Godhead. And the way of explanation is so twisted up. So in all this mess, how do you think that we can come to the place of perfection? And even the same man say in the book of Ephesians, turn to it. He said in Ephesians chapter 4. He said, right now. He said that we are right now have already arrived to this verse 13. We have already arrived. We have came, well, we are already not said just arrived, we are past the word till, T-I-L-L. What does the word till in verse 13 talks about? When we read from verse 11 onward to verse 16, what does it talk about? This is not true that the whole passage talks about Jesus Christ sending the fivefold ministry? Right? What is the fivefold ministry for? He says, for the perfection of the saints. That's verse 12. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wing of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head in Christ Jesus, even Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body filled, joined together, and compounded by which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working and measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. Have we arrived there yet? Have we come to the till there? We are still in the ministry. We are still, God is still working in us. Right? If we have come to that place, then things will be over. So you know, sometimes you wonder how on all this mess. And then people come out and say, oh, two souls. Because Brother Branham said so. How did Brother Branham say so? And Brother Branham said the soul, by definition, he defined, the soul is the nature of the spirit. And that's one simple definition. And you don't hear a denomination ever teach that. Because when God made Adam, he was a spirit. was not the living soul, it was a spirit, a living spirit. You understand? Then God would make a body of dust. Right? What's the body of dust? But the body of dust has no life until that spirit of Adam enters in. And then when he entered in, the man stood on his feet and man became a living soul. Now Adam was to manifest the spirit that he was, that God made him. The spirit that he is, as God said, let us make man in our own image. And he was to manifest the image of God. That's why he became a living soul. A dead soul cannot manifest. A spirit that is dead cannot manifest. It needs a body. That's why demons are like that. They want body to possess. If they cannot possess a human being, they will possess pigs, ducks, dinosaurs. You understand? Because spirits are dynamics. And physical bodies are the mechanics. It needs a dynamic to drive, to express. So what is God doing? How is the church going to come to that place? How is the church going to come to that place? You know why? Let me say, there are two persons, two men that I can identify with in my life. The first man is history, past. And that's Paul. Whenever I read the book of Paul and study his book, I know and I can identify why he stand the way he was standing. I didn't know the part when God called me into this ministry. In 71, I came to the message. Wow, the message was fantastic. I was falling in love. I fell in love with it. Reading Brother Abraham's book, hearing the sermon, I said, wow, people in this truth who embrace this will all be thinking the same, loving each other, staying the truth. And it came out to be it wasn't true. Huh? I have the spirit from America, Europe, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, came to Singapore, and I went and listened to them. I was troubled. I was being seduced by the Spirit to say what Brother Branham said. Everything we have is through the prophet. And my mind was so distant. But I didn't think much of it until one day God put me to a test. And in 5 minutes I came to my realization. I cried all the way home. I cried all the way home. I said, God, I'm sorry. And God was just speaking in my heart. I swear I'm not speaking to you. And the brother who brought me to see those missionaries in OMF. If you know what's OMF, Overseas Missionary Fellowship at Cluny Road, opposite the Botanic Garden, there was this OMF in those days. Overseas Missionary always go down there. That's the place where they could rest. And speaking to three missionaries. And I opened my mouth to quote Brother Branham and make a fool of myself. Because I know that statement was not true. You know. What was Brother Branham talking about? Even Brother Branham later on asked me, after many years, I said Brother Branham was not talking about the prophet. He was talking about the messenger in the New Testament. Every age is only one messenger. But the way that it was wrote in the seven churches book, there were never two prophets on the earth at the same time. And I quote that one statement, and even completed. It just came out of my mouth, and it was trailing off, and I was looking like an idiot. And those three missionaries looked at me and smiled. They said, really? I said, you don't have to say that. I know. In discussion with them, I felt so ashamed. I really lost. I lost the battle. And I took leave. Walked all the way home to Queenstown. I was crying all the way. And God was talking to me. And the young man was walking beside me. He was remained silent. And don't know where he is today. He was excited about the message, so he asked me to go and talk to them. And I realized, and God spoke to me, you want to take my absolute word that's given to you in the Bible, or do you want to quote what my prophet said? Prove all things, the Bible said. How do you prove all things? Like this brother was trying to tell me, that's no way to prove. Prove it by the scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when I look at Paul, how firm he was when it comes to that truth. See? He said, my gospel, don't you add to it. And sister, he was so much against those who put law into grace. If you're a Jew, you want to celebrate your Sabbath, you want to celebrate your Passover, go ahead. And all Jews circumcised, that's your duty. Because you are Jew, you want to keep the ritual, go ahead. But don't force it upon the Gentiles. You understand? Today we see the American, the Kenyan, the Western ideas influencing all around the world, politically, militarily, controlling people. And that's why our founding father, Lee Kuan Yew, says, I wouldn't allow that. Then what is good, what is not good, don't want it. Is it not true? And yet we have Western preaching brothers. They try to control and give up doctrines to influence the East. The how we should dress by the American standard. You don't understand? You understand that? There is a dress code that we have to. The Bible give us a dress code. But the Bible did not tell that we should dress as the Americans. The second man who influenced my life was the one that just passed away, the founding father of Singapore. When I was learning from him all those years, wonder why, hearing him give his speech in a campaign, I learned a lot. But there is one thing that I've learned that I didn't want to put into my ministry until only the last few years. And that is exposed insincerity. And I believe that had to be done. That's why Lee Kuan Yew would take people to court for spreading lies. And he said this, if I remember one place where he said something about that if you tell this lie, this untruth one time, and then do it two times, and then again, what happened to it? It was spread and people are taking it as truth. Why do I have to expose that polygamy nonsense the program was said to have, you know, preached? Now you can have more than one wife. Yes. Why do I have exposed people who think that they are the one man that can bring perfection to the bride? There's no such thing as a one man ministry that will perfect the bride. Never will be. Because the Bible tells us. Paul, the first church age messenger to us, that he's going to give that God gave the fivefold ministry. Is that right? To perfect the bride, not one man. Not a cheap apostle, a cheap prophet, a cheap this and whatever. That's pure nonsense. That's what this one American preacher was trying to say. After Brother Abraham, Brother Jackson, Brother Jackson, it's him, and something like that. And there are other people say, after Brother Abraham, it's me. As you know, you find it in Europe. Oh, I fulfilled the scripture verse in Ezekiel 36. And one said, I fulfilled the scripture in Isaiah chapter 41. Whoo! What is Isaiah 41? Huh? And they deceive people! You see, the common people, the poor people, the general people, they will tend to follow a leader. It's human nature to follow a leader. Not everybody was a leader, was created. Well, it's going to say, we are all not created equal. Everybody have a place. But when people make themselves leader, when they are not called to the work of God, and they are going to spread all this, that's what the Bible tells us, you better check the scripture. Even the Bereans were so wise. Those in Thessalonica, the Bereans. Well, I don't know, Paul was a great apostle. So what? Check it out. What he preached. Whether those things be true. Is that right? Is that right? And yet today when I check out what Brother Abraham preached, this brother was telling me, you dare to check him out? Huh? You don't judge the prophet. You believe him. I believe the prophet, but the Bible didn't tell us to believe every word that comes from his mouth. Oh, but brother God, you believe the Bible, the prophecy of Moses, Ezekiel. Hey, those are written. Written words are different from your oral speaking. Isn't it? You see. And so, well, I was talking to my son yesterday, and he was telling me about his colleague, some Canadian and some Filipino. They were wondering this past week, wow, what a great nation this was, what he's going to have achieved, and how that we from the nation of Singapore, so small an island, with a population of less than 2 million, tripled our GDP from $500 to $15,000, something like that. I don't know how much, $10,000 now. What country has that amount of money that just lives about? And they were saying it's disproportionate. Huh? People think the bigger the population, the GDP should be higher. But you see, God, like in the Bible, God is not looking for quantity, God is looking for quality. God is not interested in how big your congregation is, how big your ministry is. God is looking for the quality in the people. Is it not true? Jesus wasn't looking for quantity. Yes, he went out there, he preached, people follow him because, hey, this is the man who is the healer. Let's go hear what he has to say. Let's see what miracle he will perform today. And Jesus was sick on the mountainside. And then people were carried down and he will preach. 2,000, 4,000, 5,000, how many thousand, doesn't matter. All will listen to him. But when it comes to quality, when it came to quality, he only have how many? 12. And one of them is the devil. Right? He have 12. He have the 70. Then he have the 120. Then he have the 500. Then he have the 1,000, 2,000 out there. But when he began to preach the truth, they ran from him. And Jesus said to the disciple, you going also? And Peter said, where do we go? We have the word of eternal life. Huh? If Jesus wants quantity.
All you have to preach is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are this. Everybody's happy, huh?
Isn't it?
Oh yeah, you do good work. You do good. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. People feel happy. But when he tell the truth, who he was, they couldn't take it.
You tell the truth today in the denomination about holiness, the standard of living for us as Christians. They don't want it. They want to build their empire of thousands. Build a big name for themselves. Build a big church building. And I said, since somebody wanted to now, I have only you. How many years is that? Look at Kong Hee, Joseph Prince, and all the others, who's helped the time that I spent, and there are thousands. Yeah. And even Peter Tan from Penang, who loved the message, very charismaticism, there are thousands over a few years in Penang, be a big name for himself. And he tried to get me into it. I wrote him a letter. I said, you're going the way you're going, you will fall. I said, I will not sell my truth, the truth that God gave me for popularity. I said, you're heading the wrong way. Charismaticism is not a God, it's of the devil. And what happened to him after a few years? He was flirting with a woman in the church, hotel problem, and all this fornication going on. He was exposed. He took $6 million, I think, Malaysian dollar, and fled to Australia. That is what I was told. His ministry is gone. At that time when he was up in high, he was identified with Ben Hinn and all those great charismatic leaders. Wow! You think I want to stand in the place where Ben Hinn stand? Do you think I would stand with him side by side? I will not sow my soul and the truth for that nonsense. Do you understand that? That's all our founding father would not stand for all that nonsense that comes into Singapore and all that kind of idea they're trying to run the country. Huh? Singapore is a small island, a little red dot. What a wonderful sarcastic remark that was made. And it became a nice remark. A little red dot. Then you open your eyes, you couldn't find Singapore on it. But today, the little red dot stood up. Right? Not just in Southeast Asia, but around the whole world. Israel, for example, 1% of all the whole Middle East nation, 1% of the landmass. The only country that is truly democratic. Huh? What about all those Ishmaelites? They want to kill the little nation. You think God will allow them to be killed? And so Proverbs is talking about the light. When he talked about the seventh church age, remember the light, the moon? Said the last church age, the light is, he just drew a little white spot. He said actually it's fading off. It's almost completely gone. But God will not allow it to go. Because there is a people. They will stand for the truth. There's a small group of people that still bear the light. Scattered all around the world. Here is another email that was sent to me. Here it is, brother asked me this. Well, see what he said here. Dear sir, I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I came across your book sometime in 1998 in Lomé, Togo. But could not really read that, not knowing that I was missing a whole lot. I met Pastor Nice Apang here in Nigeria, and he gave me some books, namely The Revelation of Jesus Christ, Discrepancy, the Final Event. I discovered that what I liked were well expressed in your writings. Although we have not met face to face, as I read one of your books, I saw you in the visions giving me a very white Bible with one of your books under the white Bible. I went and told Brother Nice about it. Sir, what could this mean?
I believe you are among the leading elders that actually heard the messenger to learn the recent age. I await your response, asking for God's blessing upon you. His name is Philip Abosi, a servant of the Lord. And that's my reply to him. I said, Brother Philip, greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Throughout my ministry, I have received testimony from different ministers and believers in different countries, how that God had led them to my ministry, read my books, came across my website that opened their eyes to the truth. All these believers like you, I have never met or talked to. So what was God doing? Why did God give you a dream for? See, I never influenced people and told people all about myself and boast about myself like many big preachers in US, Europe, and even in Africa are doing. They consider God talked to them in audible voices, give them vision, etc. They boast about being the one that believers must follow. When Jesus came to do his ministry on earth, did he advertise himself as a great man and boast about himself? No, that's God in simplicity. The truth of God will find its way into a believer's heart. If the believer's sincerity is in his word. But when the heart is closed up with opinions and need no further revelation, then revelation is not forthcoming to him. My ministry is to restore the broken foundation of the churches and believers to whom I am sent, to those who would hear. Read my testimony on the website. I am only one of the apostles God sent. I am not a one-man ministry. It takes the fivefold ministry to perfect the bride of Christ. Any preacher who thinks he is the one man that can bring perfection to the bride and that he is the one man all believers and preachers must follow is a fool. Not all apostles are equal. Some have greater wisdom and revelation than others. God deals with each one differently. Tenfold, 30-fold, 75-fold, 100-fold. You can see that in the Bible. Peter did not brag about himself. Paul did not boast about how great his ministry was. The white Bible could only signify the purity of God's word. Under the Bible, under the written word, are the revelation that are unfolding. My brother Branham, I'm holding up the Bible. My books are under the Bible, not above it. Read the Bible, read my books, and understand. The revelation of the word comes to the church to perfect the saints through the fivefold ministry headed by the apostles. That's why Paul said that Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our faith. Hebrews 3:1, and not the prophet and the high priest. We are in a new covenant, not the old. So I have a wonder. People ask me, where can I dream of you, this and that? People I never know. I don't tell people about my vision and this and tell them this is what I do, this is what God sent me to do, and this. That's a lot of bragging. Many times people say, oh, even in Philippines, out there in Africa, when I ministered, they said they saw the light, they saw the fire, they saw the pillar of fire. But also church, the people saw it. Out there in Uganda, they saw it. And they asked me, what is it? I said, it's not for me, it's for you. And I told them, the pillar of fire had never left the church of God as long as the word of God is preached. The pillar of fire is there. You believe that? Huh? Brother John Mark, his ministry is full of miracles too. The pillar of fire had never left because he knows the truth. He marched on with the truth. He got called to work there. Huh? So what about those others? Brother Nice, Brother Andrew Peary, but also all those others that I know, those in India. Everyone have their ministry. Nobody tells anybody else what to do. Nobody tells anybody else that they must follow a one man. But if every one of us who are called of God can look into the Bible, we will see eye to eye according to the word. Not my eyes or anybody else's eye. Because God is a God of the living. He will bring all that unity, work it out as He sees fit. It is not you trying to bring about perfection. It is not me trying to bring about perfection. Bring about an one accord, in unity, or one faith. That's not possible. I cannot do it. It's only the Holy Spirit. If a minister can identify with the Word, and we can see according to the Word, we can be in one accord. We can walk together because we believe the same. Because we agree. But how can you move with someone who is not seeing the same light? Or someone who tries to force you to walk according to his revelation? I don't force anybody else to come to believe my revelation. I said, God give it to me the way I interpret it. You see the scripture, if it's not true, don't believe it. Simple as that. So remember, we are God's workmanship. And God is bringing us to the place. Don't struggle. Yield. Like Paul. Like Christ met him on the road to Emmaus. To Damascus. Huh? Like Abraham, who yielded. Like King David, he even yielded when he realized he was wrong. See? Like all the ministers. Even Peter yielded when he realized he was wrong. All we have to do is believe that all things are possible according to what God intended. Because that is His purpose that He set out to do. A mystery that we find hard sometimes to comprehend. How is it going to work? How is it going to come about? But I always want to remember this. We are His workmanship. Is that right? We are His workmanship. So He's working and working out. I will end today and we'll continue next time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for thy word of life. Again, we thank you, Lord, truly. In all things, Lord, that we give you the praise and the glory. Especially, Father, being predestinated children unto eternal life, predestinated children unto sonship, and that we might be predestinated unto to be conformed to the image of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And we know, Lord, we are in this body, we have our ups and downs. But you have shown us that at some point in the world, only believe. And to yield ourselves to you. So Father, we ask for your blessing today in the word that we have received from you. Help us, Lord. As we walk with you, show us thy will, show us thy way, and the purpose of what Jesus Christ is doing in our life. We ask for your blessing now, in Jesus' name. Amen.